Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Glenn Akramoff on the line, and he is CEO over at Akramoff. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right, Glenn. So we got a lot to talk about today. You got a book out, new book, first book. I'm really excited for all my long-term listeners. They know I love promoting other authors, other entrepreneurs, but specifically authors, because I think it takes a whole lot to put together a book and get it out there. And I really respect the process. So we're going to get into your book. And then the overall topic today too, leadership in today's workplace, from theory to results. So we'll get into this and explore. But before we do all of that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with what we call our Mission Matters Minute. So Glenn, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Glenn, what mission matters to you?
At Akramoff, our mission is to change the world by changing the workplace. We know that most of us, well, we know as human beings, we need a purpose. And when we serve a purpose and we serve other people, we tend to thrive. Mm-hmm. So our focus is always on the workplace. I found that with my personal life is always tied to my work, and they can say what they want about self-worth, but that's the reality of America.
Yeah.
So at Akramoff, that we take a human-centered approach, and we do that by allowing people to explore who they are, who they want to be, what their purpose is, and then refitting them into a workplace that's appropriate.
Mm. Fantastic. And great to have you on today. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, like this idea of entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur, like, were you always an entrepreneur? Like, when did you get the bug?
Recently, actually, I worked in local government for 25 years, and I was getting to a point where I've done what I thought I could do at that point, and I was looking for something else to do. I got a call to do some consultant work. I knew nothing about that, so I hooked up with another company, and they kind of taught me the ropes, and I realized I really want to go out on my own. And I really want to get involved in serve my purpose and create this purpose for a company. Yeah. And so I went and did it, and it took me a couple of fits and starts, as it usually does. Then once I got going, I was like, okay, this is the way I like to do it. I love the fast pace. I love the opportunity to impact people and do it in a lot of different venues. So I would say I've had the bug about 6-7 years now.
Wow.
It isn't going away.
I got to ask you, do you remember the old government days and the, like, you know, in and out, or was it like that? I don't know. I don't want to stereotype, but I just feel like that's a big juxtapose in terms of like schedule, in terms of lifestyle and even conversations. Or am I wrong? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, please.
Yeah. I think yes and no. I work in government, and most of my clients are. But I would say that I worked in new cities. So the cities I worked in for my last three or four were all less than 20 years old. So they have more of the corporate fast-paced piece. So it wasn't
kind of like an entrepreneur almost in these systems, right? Like, for sure.
Great term.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just always curious when I get into somebody's backstory and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So what was it? For me, I was a super like corporate America guy. And I think I'm in a straight 9-to-5, right? And I was in that kind of environment for, I don't know, solid 14 years. And then I became an entrepreneur last 8 years. I've been in media and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? Like, everything doesn't just shut down for a holiday or this. I still have to. I don't know. I didn't know exactly what I signed up for. So I just throw that out there, and I share my story for any of the entrepreneurs that are going through it out there too as well.
It is crazy. I mean, there are weeks where you work 16 hours a day, you know, 5-6 days a week, and then you put in a half day, an 8-hour day on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But I also love the flexibility, and it allows me to do a lot of other things. So it's been a fun journey.
So let's get into this book. So the Human-Centered Team, what inspired the book?
actually me creating this program over my career. I had had it on my list, like many of us do, for a long time. I do annual goals, and it'd been on my there for 25 years. I went, okay, let's check that one off.
Wait, the book? So write a book was on your list for 25 years? Amazing. That's amazing.
But I realized, I got to a point where I realized I had the themes, I had the program that I wanted to do. And then as the book evolved, and when they tell you it takes a year, it took me exactly a year to write it and release it. So it was an amazing journey, but I think the inspiration was I wanted people to know that the theory's out there, but I wanted them to know how I learned how to implement the theory. So it's got stories tied to how I implemented the theory. And then that's how our program began at Akromoff.
So what do you hope? And obviously there's much, but what do you hope that the readers get out of this book?
A couple things. One is that if I can do it, they can do it.
Yeah.
That you can learn from anyone. And I certainly did. There's lots of different stories about people who taught me and not people that you would assume, right? It's not people that were in corporate or a CEO or anything. It was down to earth people who just were living their lives who taught me valuable lessons. I also think that I want people to know that they can take action. Doesn't matter what their position is. They can change their attitude, their life, their workplace, just by changing their mind and working on it.
Now, I definitely want people to pick up a copy of the book, and just for everybody watching, we'll have a link in the show notes and all that good stuff so you can. But I do want to give them a flavor of what's inside the book. So I know you go through some pillars. I know it's some keys to winning. So maybe give us a flavor of what the readers can expect.
Sure. There are six pillars that we've identified for a healthy and happy workplace. And I won't go through them all, but I think the biggest one is culture. We talk about it a lot. Certainly in our culture today, it's become a buzzword, but there's a lot of interesting pieces to that. And so the other one that I'll highlight is external forces, in that we all have those. And those are things that we can't control, but we have to have a strategy for. And most companies and most governments don't. They just try to deal with them. And having a strategy really helps you move through things. The other are the eight keys to a winning team. And there are sports stories in here. It's not a sports book by any means, but there are sports stories because it relates.
I like stories. Stories are relatable. I feel like books without stories are a little hard for me to get through.
And that was what we wanted. I want frontline employees to read this.
Yeah.
Right. I want the young Glenn who was a frontline employee to want to read this and be able to jump in. It's a quick read. It's meant to be, it's meant to flow fast and challenge your thought processes. But the eight keys are about what is important to creating a winning team. And one of the things that I talk about in there is defining winning. We define winning, you know, sports team can do that. Our record is whatever.
Right.
But when you're in corporate or when you're in a local government, how do you define what a win is and what winning looks like? And you can't do it by the bottom line. The bottom line's part of it, of course. But that doesn't motivate people to work the 16-hour days and do the extras at the frontline level. So you got to define what that is, and then you got to celebrate it when you reach it. I mean, I talk a lot about it. Creating a championship workplace, and the eight keys are focused on doing that. One of them is celebrating your success. Don't just check it off the list, celebrate it.
Oh, I love that one, because that's what entrepreneurs do. We check it off, we move to the next problem, we want to solve something else. And it's like, no, just pause for a minute, celebrate that one. It's okay. Like, take a breath at least. I'm guilty myself, by the way. I've been working on this the last couple of years, actually.
And I think your team, when you have a team, and you, as you and I both know, you can't do this alone. You have to, it's not a lonely thing. We're all a team and we get moving forward. Everybody has their role. And when someone in your team wins, that's one of the philosophies that I teach is when one of us wins, we all win. And that creates that positive culture that you're looking for as a pillar. The other one that I talk about a lot is knowing that your performance cycle. That's one of the keys. And now we all, as human beings, have a general performance cycle. And I have found it's around 6 weeks, give or take a little bit. And we go up and down in that cycle. So we climb up to what I call a performance plateau for about 2 weeks. Hmm. And that's about the max that we can really do and concentrate and really thrive. And then you need to go down and rest and kind of re-energize. And then you kind of hit the bottom trough and you bounce back up and you can ramp up. Most people will notice, and I think this is an important distinction. You will notice that, hey, I can do one thing and I'm doing it really well. And then 2 weeks later, you can't do it. You're struggling with it. Maybe it's tech, maybe it's typing, whatever it is. And it will tell you that that's the fact. You're not on your performance plateau anymore. You're coming down. Mm-hmm. And you want to learn it. Put your prime presentations and prime things in your plateau if you can schedule them, and you can. And then take your downtime. Be okay with, hey, I'm just not going to be on top of my game like I was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so you stop beating yourself up. And as a leader, you realize your people are not going to be able to keep a steady flow. If they do, then they're performing less than their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you develop this methodology? Like this, I feel like this took a lot of reflection. This took a lot of light. Like, how did this methodology come about?
It's a great story. My wife, who is a stepmother to my son, the three of us were living together and just started. And she said to me, you know, your son can do anything for 6 weeks, saying in that he can, you know, bluff his way through pretty much anything. So I said, wow, that's interesting. So I watched, and she was right. I watched this cycle form in him. And then I'm like, I wonder if that's true of me. So I watched me and I'm like, wow, there it is. So I watched my team at work. I was a manager at the time. I'm like, wow, they all do it too.
Study. You were a bit of a sleuth in here. Observational right there. Okay, yeah. Einstein, this is amazing.
it was. It was very interesting. And I stumbled on it and I just kept going with it and eventually developed it, a strategy to make sure my team is functioning at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And what it does, what it requires of a leader, though, is you have to really know your people and you have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that actually made me a better leader to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about what you're seeing overall. Cause I mean, you work with a lot of companies. So what does it take to really create a healthy workplace right now in today's market? I mean, for everybody and for context, for anybody that's watching this, you know, years into the future, we're doing this in 2024, you know, post pandemic, post like where there's a lot, all this change happening specifically in the workplace, well, in the world, but in the workplace, especially. Like, what do you think it takes today to create a healthy workplace environment?
I think the first thing is connection, and that takes a couple of different pieces. One is connection to the purpose. Mm-hmm. You need to connect the individual's purpose, because our younger generations are very purpose-driven, which I applaud them for, and they want that purpose. So you have to have that in your company, and you have to help connect them with their individual purpose. Mm-hmm. Many people haven't identified it, and so as a leader, you got to help them do it.
Yeah.
And then help show them how it connects with the company's purpose.
Yeah.
So that's one of the first pieces of connection. The next one is the human connection. We learned in the pandemic, we need it. It's something that's required for us to survive and thrive and do magic things and innovate. And so I've always been a fan of remote work. Mm-hmm. I was talking about it long before the pandemic. But you still need to have some sort of connection.
Yeah.
Individual place. So when you bring your staff in, you need to be purposeful about that connection for each of your human beings. And I think that's the other part is a lot of the industrialization of America and the world tried to create humans into machines.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not. And did it produce some magic and some incredible results? Yes. Mm-hmm. But long term, it had a detrimental effect to us as human beings.
Yeah.
So we can no longer follow those premises.
Yeah.
We need to be, and that's why I focus on the humans, because we all have reasons to be here and gifts and skills and passions that we really want to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And it shows up in our work. Mm-hmm. And I'm a believer that the reason, and I talk about this, it is a matter of life and death. You can push it off, but I've watched people self-medicate and die because a workplace ate them alive.
Yeah.
And we just can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when you go back to the purpose piece.
Yeah.
When you can connect those purposes, I've seen some incredible things happen.
Yeah. I think about that often. And I think about the concept of, you know, the industrial revolution, right? And some of the things that maybe my grandparents or great grandparents had to go through to build the infrastructure so that we have the luxury to have these type of conversations and to increase our quality of living. And when I say increase our quality of living, I think in the past, even pre-pandemic, that concept was always just tied to like money, tied monetarily. When we think about the quote unquote American dream or the version of it that was sold for many years. I mean, there's a lot of variations of it, of course, but when we think about that versus now, that evolution being that, you know, part of, you know, increasing the quality of living and life and means things like, you know, family time, like all these other, like not letting your work eat you alive or and literally dropping dead from it. Whereas like I was blessed that my grandparents lived to be, you know, very old in their 90s or very mature. But that being said, like not everybody else, like a lot of people that went before us to build this infrastructure didn't necessarily have those choices. So, or if they did, not necessarily. We needed infrastructure. So the sacrifices they made that we now get to benefit from, to me, for the leaders out there, it's a big responsibility to figure out how to make the current workplace work and to make it a healthy, profitable, of course, but a healthy proposition as well, right?
Yeah, I think as leaders, we have to own that. Mm-hmm. We have to own the culture. We have to own that we impact our people's lives. Mm-hmm. And we can do it negatively or positively. And so every word we say, every action we take needs to be put through that prism. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not, and it's unfortunate, but I think that's when I get the call.
Yeah.
Right? Our company gets the call when that's not being done.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and it's not always a bad manager. I mm-hmm. want to be clear about that
for sure.
I think
people mean well. I think generally speaking, people mean well. Like nobody's out there trying to do, you know, bad work. I don't feel.
No, I think they're not. They don't have the toolkit.
Yeah.
We do not train. One of the statistics that I use that I talk about a lot is 60% of the managers that'll be hired this year will fail because they don't have the proper training and understanding of what they're role really is. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, only about 20% of them will lose their jobs.
Where's everybody else hanging out? Silent quitting. I don't know. What is that new term we have nowadays? I forget them. There's what? No one every day.
Yeah. That's what
it is. Quiet, not silent. Quiet, I said quiet. It wrong. I knew right. it.
However, to you know, when you talk about that,
yeah,
that's been going on for years. And
for sure.
And when you talk about, and I've seen it a lot in government. That's mm-hmm. what happens in government. You get to 15, 20 years and you watch people just be defeated. Mm. They just give up. They keep getting beat up. They try. They get beat up from internal and external.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, I just don't have any more. And they don't see any hope to move to somewhere else.
Mm.
And so they just stay and they grind and they come to work and sometimes, and, you know, they just fill the chair. I had a friend of mine who said those people come to work to have lunch.
Mm.
And that's unfortunate. I see that as a sad thing, not something to be angry about. Why are they feel they got to do that? That's the question that I like to ask.
And you work, correct me if I'm wrong, you work currently still at the Akramoff with government, right? I know you're working with founders as well, but like you work in government still, right?
Yeah, I currently have 5 clients and actually our company has 6 clients and 4 of them are local government.
Mm. And then another one of your specialties is founders, family-based businesses that are also in the, you know, experiencing and or working on scaling and expanding, right?
Yeah, we have a consultant that is an expert in that. He actually is my son, so that's a pretty cool thing.
Oh, that is, yeah.
And he's working with a company now that's a
founder. Your original case study, aka your son.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. And like he tells everybody, you know, I've lived this my whole life.
Yeah.
You're just getting to see it now. So, but he's doing one where there's a company and they're 4 years old. They've been struggling to figure out how to meet their niche and everything. Yeah. And he's in there working his butt off, just like I'm doing in government and helping them scale. So, and that's, you know, when we started with the entrepreneur thing. I mean, when people are doing that and they're a founder-based business and they've got everything in it. They've got their heart, their soul, their money, their house, you know, everything's in their business.
Yep.
And when they look up and they're not being as successful as they'd like to, or they'd want to grow, you know, the panic in their eyes is devastating for us, which is why we help them out in many ways. So if you're out there, there's help out there.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, you know, this has been great. And I just have to ask, I mean, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for the firm?
One of the things we're doing is starting a second business, and it goes right to what we were just talking about. We found that the founder-based businesses get in a place where they can't always get the financing that they need to get moving, and we can. So we're starting a holdings firm to help at least buy portions of businesses, help them use our techniques and our process to get them flying, and then sell it back to them, or you know, work some sort of deal. And yes, it's a moneymaker. That's what it's supposed to be.
Of course.
But our deal is to create that workplace. It's another way we can save workplaces and save businesses.
Yeah.
So we're working on that right now. And you know, I've had a lot of people talk to me about another book. So we'll see about that. And then
Hold on. Did this book just come out this year?
and it's
you already got another one. Yeah, I love it. I'm excited about that because I'm thinking it was on the list for, you know, 20-25 years, whatever you said it was. You checked it. Now you're like, oh, I think I might have another one. I'm a fan of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think we call it the book's the Human Centered Team, and what goes along with that is the Human Centered Leader. How do you become a human centered leader? So it just flows into that, and everyone said, well, we want to hear a little bit more about your leadership techniques and how you help make this happen. So that's coming. And then we're working on with a number of different partners on workshops and video training and things like that. However, I will say that we are most effective, and I personally am more effective when I'm working directly with people. I can do it through this video, but but it's more when I'm doing that interaction, and I love being in person, and I'm much more effective that way. So that's where we're headed.
Yeah. Amazing. And Glenn, if somebody wants to follow up and they want to learn more, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, start at akromoff.com, our website. There's lots of things there, tools, stuff like that. Yeah. This podcast will end up there when you release it. But I think the big thing is there's tools there, and if you can use them, use them, take them, use them. They're yours to use. Mm-hmm. And if you need our help, call us. And we are on LinkedIn. We're on all the social media pages, but that's where you can find some tools. The book, I've gotten a lot of good feedback about it. Makes you think, and it gives people good tools, and people have used it. So if you can use it, awesome. It's a quick read, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
Perfect. And we'll put, and for everybody watching this, we'll put the links in the show notes so that you can just click on the links and head right on over, pick up a copy, and obviously connect with Glenn and his team. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters and you're new to the program, hey, this is a daily show where we're bringing on new entrepreneurs, business owners, and executives each and every day. So definitely hit that subscribe button, because we have a lot more programming and content that we don't want you to miss. And if you're a long-term listener, hey, leave that review. Don't forget, we sure do appreciate it. And Glenn, really, thank you so much for coming on. I'm wishing you much more continued success with your book and your business, and especially that book. I'm a big fan of authors, and congrats on getting that off the to-do list. Anybody else out there that's got that book idea on their to-do list and want to check it off, get it done, figure out a way, because you'll be happy on the other side of when you do become an author, just like Glenn. So Glenn, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.